I'd like to thank you all for listening to this episode of Zotcast. And before we start, I just want to let you know that the Zotcasts have been done over Skype. So we've been doing Skype video chats, and I ripped the audio straight from the video chat. So this episode originally was over an hour, about an hour and 5 minutes to be exact, without the music, but I was able to whittle about 11 minutes out from it. Because normally, when Frank and I do talk, we have these long, dead air between our thoughts. You're welcome. Took me about 2 hours. Still getting used to this whole hour-long format thing. Let me know if there can be any improvements. What do you think? You are the listener, after all. You could go ahead and tweet us at ZotPark on Twitter, ZotePark, or like us on Facebook or send a message, facebook.com/ZotPark, or go to our website, ZotPark.com. Good evening, everybody. Oh, hi, Frank.
Oh, hi, Steve.
It is not true. This is bullshit.
Hit her. Oh, hi, Mark.
I did not hit her. I did not. I figured it out. I think he's definitely French.
That fucking guy.
he's French-ish. from one of those European country things.
He's fucked up is what he is.
This podcast, this Zotcast brought to you by soda.
I had some. I should make some coffee.
And sleepiness.
Yeah, we'll wait. We can wait. It's only 10:45 at night.
That's only?
Fun. Only.
Yeah. Yeah, so I decided that it is about time that I watched The Room. I've heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen clips. I decided, you know, I've had a copy for a while now, and I've yet to watch it. So now I could cross that off my list. To sum up the movie, it really is like one of those The More You Know after school PSAs. And the bottom line is, do not be a sociopath. Plain and simple.
The bottom line is, bitches be crazy.
Do not be a sociopath, or else Tommy Wiseau will shoot himself in the head. Oh, wait, hold on. Spoiler alert.
The hidden message is, never fall in love, because women will betray you.
Or unless you drop the ball online.
No. What I did did not come that close. Bitches just be crazy.
I wasn't talking about you, but okay, let's go into you, Frank.
That luck. Fuck you. Okay, you know what? Pause it. I'm making some coffee.
played all last night, and you know, I'm starting to figure it out. Remember where the all the enemies are and all the boss strategies.
Yep.
I make some progress, and I get into the next stage, and I start getting my ass kicked again, and then I run out of continues, and I gotta go back to the beginning of the game and start all over and keep working my way back up and trying to, you know, find a safe place to stand, but just kill things and build up some extra lives. But man, this fucking game is relentless. I mean, it's very similar to the first Contra, just in terms of graphics and gameplay and power-ups and all that, but it's just fucking brutal. Like, the enemies are infinitely respawning. There are some times when there's like at least 10, 15 enemies on the screen at a time just running at you and shooting at you, and you gotta fucking dodge all this shit and kill them all. It only takes one hit to die. Just keep plugging away at it. Eventually I'll master it, or, you know, blow my brains out.
On behalf of all potatoes everywhere, I did not understand a word you said.
I believe that.
Everybody, I'm Steve.
I'm Frank.
And this is Zotcast Reloaded.
Reloaded?
Yeah.
My. How fancy.
Yeah. Podcast number 2. You're tearing me apart, Lisa. That's going to be the name.
Tearing me apart, Internet. So before we move on to new business, I just want to go on record and openly admit that I started watching Return of the King, and I made it about 26 minutes in before I just had to shut it off. I was literally raging that hard. I'm like, fuck you, movie. Fuck you completely in every way possible with a metal stick. That fucking movie, man. I'm telling you.
That's what I said earlier when I was watching The Room.
I was like, no, I'd still rather be watching The Room.
My goodness, yeah, they did have an ADR team and everything. See, I was right. I thought that my computer was just lagging when I was watching it. And I'm just like, no, man, that is ADR. Total non-synchronization. I think it was just mainly because of Tommy Wiseau's voice just being so soft or whatever.
Bland.
Yeah.
Monotone. <It's> like, dead inside.
Sounds like your character from that web show, Frank.
What web show? I don't know what you mean. Do you mean Mystery Science Radio, available on zotpark.com/molars?
Dude. I was going to buy that website, too. Bustin' Cheever's Bikes for Your Teeth.
.com. See, that would have been fucking hilarious.
That's /molars.
/molars.
The listeners right now have no idea what we're talking about.
Oh, damn it. It's their fault for not tuning in.
In case of you guys that don't know, Frank is currently playing Super C on the Nintendo, which is Contra 2, Electric Boogaloo.
And I'm doing quite badly at it, despite playing it all last night and most of today. While playing it seriously, I tried it out like a little bit once before, and I was like, damn. So now I'm getting serious about it because I wanted to I got myself a copy of the original Contra, which I used to love when I was a kid. Got it at the flea market, brought it home. I'm like, all right, this is fucking sweet. Konami Code, we're gonna rock this shit out. And then it doesn't work.
Isn't that like up, up, down, down, left, right?
Left, B-A. Right, B-A, select, start, yeah.
Yeah.
And you start with 30 lives, which is more than enough to plow through the entire game.
But now with Super Contra,
this one, I think this one has like a cheat code where you can start with 10 lives.
Ooh, but 10.
Yeah. Which is still fucking relentless and damn near impossible.
So now we can hear all your nerd frustrations in the background.
Fuck you. This is frustrating. Every time I start making some progress, I freaking get killed again. And I lose my weapon, my power-ups.
I like how we as a society, we revert to, like, games and things to, in our hobbies to kind of, like, you know, vent our frustrations and just relax and unwind, whereas when we
Whereas
do play...
the games themselves are even more frustrating than our real-life shit.
Yeah, exactly. like
unwind with some oh jeez. Last weekend I was at the flea market and I picked up Iron Sword Wizards and Warriors 2
Electric Boogaloo.
That would have been fun. This game, I swear, it was made by somebody who hated children and did not want them to succeed. The controls are so fucking broken and weird. Nothing is intuitive. I mean, like, you try to swing your sword at things, and it looks like somebody, like, sweeping with a broom. It is not the movement of somebody swinging a sword trying to attack something or defend themselves from monsters. And, like, I looked it up online. I found a walkthrough. There were only two, by the way. The author recommended jumping at things because, contrary to every other Nintendo game where, you know, making contact with anything will hurt you or kill you, in Iron Sword, Wizards and Warriors 2, when you're jumping, there's a good chance that enemies will fly into your sword and kill themselves. So, like, the best strategy you have is just, like, mastering the controls and just jumping at everything and hoping for the best. Meanwhile, you have endlessly respawning birds and fireballs flying at you from every direction, whittling away at your health. I mean, this, I could barely get into the second stage. That's how freaking crazy it was. So finally I rage quit on that and went back to Contra here. This at least works like a proper Nintendo game where, you know, things do what you'd expect them to do. You actually have a fair chance of making it through if you can, if you have the patience to, you know, learn the game and find, remember where everything is, and just have skill.
Skill.
You gotta have skills. Yeah, girl, yeah. Chicks love guys with skills.
I haven't messed with this microphone in over 500 years.
Trying to beat this game for 500 years.
Here, Frank and I are making, like, references to Mystery Science Radio shortwave.
No, don't explain it. Let them look it up for themselves. We already referenced the thing. It's up to them now to remove their thumb from their bum and look it up.
No.
From this point on, every Mystery Science Radio reference is like an Easter egg.
We will not mention Mystery Science Radio from here on out. You're just going to have to check it out.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Fucking, we're not doing all the work for you people. Make it easy for enough for you as it is. It's all there. It's all free. Fucking download that shit and listen to it and love it.
So last night I was sitting here, I was watching some TV. And, like, I hear, like, the neighbor guy upstairs, like, totally flipping out on his gaming console. The guy's, like, almost 50 years old, and he's, like, acting like such a baby. He's playing his Xbox. Well, I figured what it was is he was probably playing some game that was online while you and I were, like, having our video chat, and we were, like, bogging down the internet. let's listen to Frank make himself a coffee. The Breakfast of Champions.
Ah, coffee. That wonderful, delightful, caffeinated beverage. The perfect start to a perfect day.
Hello, Cherokee Jack. It was nice to hear from you again.
Hello to you, Radios Frank. What are you doing today?
Anyway, seriously, I am so fucking close to just calling it quits on the whole Lord of the Rings thing.
You're gonna try to give it another go.
I don't even know if I want to put myself through it. I'm so angry at it. I'm so tired of even thinking about it.
I almost gave up on the room, man. But I knew eventually it was gonna pay off a bit.
Yeah, but still, you're not writing an essay on what's essentially a 12-hour movie.
That's understandable, I suppose. Considering that you get to sit down and, like, watch it a few times, just, you know.
No, I'm only watching them once. I'm making notes as I go along, so I don't have to watch it again. When I write my Guilty Pleasures movie reviews, I'm writing about movies that I enjoyed watching because of their inherent badness. It's like, here's a movie, it's a technical failure, but the people making it honestly believed that they were turning out something good, or at least they believed that it was going to be successful. They were taking themselves seriously when they made this.
Okay.
And so when it comes out as a failure, that's funny to me because I mean. But even like movies like The Room, which is abysmal from a technical standpoint, the story, the writing, the acting, the characters themselves, it's horrible. But
if you can watch it from an ironic point of view and enjoy the fact that it's horrible, you know, riff on it with your friends, make a drinking game out of it, you know, a bad movie becomes fun to watch. Lord of the Rings, it's a bastardization of a legitimately good story, completely altered and skewed and warped to fit somebody else's interpretation. Somebody who is just trying to turn out a product under the guise of loving the story because money. That's how it seems to be.
Because
it wasn't even his money. It was the freaking studio's money. New Line produced the movie, which means they gave them the money to make the movies. It wasn't Peter Jackson didn't pay for that out of his pocket. He shopped the movie around and New Line signed for it. And usually New Line, okay, I'm not going to turn this into an indictment against New Line Cinema because their achievements stand for themselves.
They're known for making good movies.
Yeah, they make schlocky films. They made the Nightmare on Elm Street, just to name one thing.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's what I recognize. When I think of...
For movies and shit like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much what I think of.
It's not a bad studio. They're fine by me. I like their movies. I like what they do. I don't blame them for Lord of the Rings. It's Peter Jackson because it was Peter Jackson's vision. He got lost in the mentality that it was his interpretation, so he could just do whatever he wanted with it. There was no accountability. There was no oversight. He's just gonna make the movie his way and fuck everybody else. And as a result, it was a total betrayal, as I mentioned in the last podcast, where even Christopher Tolkien has, you know, said, nope, this will not do.
Yeah, so. I don't foresee The Lord of the Rings being redone anytime soon.
No, see, here's the thing. If I had the time and the money and the resources, I would produce Lord of the Rings as a television series. Every hour-long episode would be one chapter from the book. And it would be a literal adaptation. It would be faithful to the book. It would be faithful to the story. It would probably be live action, although honestly, I think it would be better off being animated. I mean, just imagine Lord of the Rings done in the style of that CG Beowulf movie from a couple years ago. If Lord of the Rings was like that, then there would have been no limit to what they could have done and shown and portrayed the world as. It would have been absolutely glorious.
Whatever you imagine will one day come to be.
Yes.
Dreams but to awaken.
I mean, Lord of the Rings done like fucking Walking Dead. They can do some great things with television dramas these days.
Yes, but then they wouldn't stay true to the movie, to the book, as you were worried about when the films came out. Because they would have to shoot it a certain way, and they'd have to, like, dramatize it a certain way
for it to
be interesting to the viewers.
If I was in charge of the project, and I was taking it one chapter at a time, it would be faithful to the book. Some things might get trimmed out here and there for time or pacing, but I wouldn't be removing whole characters, whole scenes, and transplanting dialogue from one character to another, from one point in the story to another, such as they did in the movies. You hear friggin' Tree Bear quoting Tom Bombadil when they're recreating the willow tree scene with Merry and Pippin, completely stupid.
For those who are listening, I'm sorry, I have nothing else to like really contribute to the Lord of the Rings thing.
Yeah, for those who are listening, I'm just beating a dead horse now, and I'm trying to talk myself into what I made. And truth is, I'm just not going to fucking do it. This is me officially resigning from the Lord of the Rings essay. I'm not going to do it.
Do it, Frank. Do it for me.
Fuck that. It's not even worth my attention. I've finally grown up and realized all my anger accomplishes nothing. It's just shortening my own life by stressing out over this shit. And
do it for me, man.
Trying to make myself watch these movies that I cannot stand.
All right.
And I have nothing to gain from doing this. There is nothing to gain from this.
See, damn it.
If only you let me finish the line. Do it for me, the team, and for me!
Do it for me, and the team, and for me!
So, alright.
Really not worth it.
Lord of the Rings, no go anymore.
Okay. No, it's done. I'm not doing this.
Okay.
I don't care if people want to call me a quitter or call me soft or weak or whatever. Call me whatever you want. I don't deserve to do this to myself. I'm a nice guy. I try to be good to people sometimes, usually. I'm in a service profession.
Yes, we have a montage of all, like, the snarky stuff you've ever said about anything that's decently, you know, happy.
No.
I'm a good guy. All of a sudden it's like, fuck this, fuck that. This is bullshit. Alright, so we'll segue.
I feel better now. I feel so much better just letting myself be off the hook. Because fuck Lord of the Rings. Fuck Peter Jackson and his stupid fat ass and his stupid furry face. Fuck that incompetent hack. Fuck that shit.
Right in the middle of that rant, I should just like put like the color bar sound up. We'll be right with you after these messages.
We'll be right back after this rant from our sponsors.
And fuck this guy. Fuck his vision. Fuck that Gollum character.
Fuck this. Fuck you. Fuck him. Fuck me. Fuck everybody.
Hey, Frank, look what I have here.
What do you have there?
I have a zine.
Good for you.
I have the Radical Uprise zine issue number 032 from Jetta Vegas in Seattle, Washington. And in this issue, it's subtitled is called Dusty Paperbacks. And really, it's just an homage to people's favorite books. And she asked for some of her readers to submit short essays of their favorite book. You know, about why they like their why they love their favorite book and such. So I urged my father, DJ Frederick, to submit What the Trees Said as his favorite book, because I know he loved it. So he did so, and I'd like to read a passage from his entry.
Well, if you must.
What the Trees Said by Stephen Diamond, Delta Books, 1970.
These scrolls are full of shit.
What did the trees say?
These squirrels are nuts! Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
You're being serious.
Yeah, I am.
I'm gonna fuck with Steve now.
Their faces are all smiling, posed for the panoramic lens, dogs draped in laps, some cradling babies, some with outstretched arms, gathering for a communal portrait as the backdrop of farmhouse clipboards peel behind them. Steve Diamond is almost hiding between two friends, their lengthy hair almost obscuring his face, yet his presence is betrayed by his trademark Stetson. They all burn with the energy of revolution, 20 pioneers captured in a timeless greeting. We are the children of the sun, we are the children of the earth. We plow the fields, we plant the soil, we dance the wind, we listen to the trees. I almost laughed thinking about Steve lurking in the background on the cover of his own book. I suspect he wanted it that way. Steve was never one to steal the limelight. His story is the story of this improbable clan, these unrelated kin who chose to live together intentionally, farming the land, creating their own uprising. They look natural together, staring into the future without fear of isolation. They are the New Age embodied, personified. They are learning how to live together, grow together, play together, work together, finding their strength within themselves and one another in hard times. I gaze at them and see everything I am not, which simply fuels my intrigue and longing. Of course, it's all fantasy. Steve only relates part of the story, but what a story. A group of young adults banding together in the wilds of Massachusetts at the end of the 60s, refugees from the anti-war movement and the Liberation News Service, journalists embarking on a journey by buying a farm and leading a subsistence lifestyle. Well, they were hippies, a substance lifestyle. They learned how to they learned how to raise cows, how to plant crops, how to weather the winter, and how to make delicious food from scratch, how to welcome friends into the fold. Sometimes there was conflict, sometimes barely enough food to go around, and sometimes the mortgage did not get paid. There were moments of surreal joy and utter tragedy. Yet, a spirit evolved that burned brightly for years, connections that would never be severed. I read What the Tree Said a decade after it was published. In its chapters, I found magic and a temporary family, even though they were a cast of ever-changing characters. Ray, radical wonder journalist. Marshall, communal visionary and counterculture guru. Kathy, the sensitive nature, woman who falls out of love with Steve and into love with frizzy-haired Lazarus. Alex, 20-plus years older than everyone, wise and young at heart. Books speak from across time, and What the Tree Said still whispers to me even now. Steve skillfully never reveals what the trees actually said. He cleverly leaves that to our own imaginations. Rest in peace, dear friend. Your spirit still soars from these pages. And for that, I am grateful. This reading brought to you by Stephen J. Lazat, son of DJ Frederick, who wrote the essay. What the Tree Said by Steve Diamond, 1971.
Reminds me of the Bohemians.
How does it remind you of the Bohemians?
Because he was clearly writing about Bohemians.
And how?
Those guys. Those Bohemiacs from Bohemia.
10,000 Bohemiacs.
Or just a few.
What the Tree Said.
Oh, Bohemia.
Our home and broken down land.
What the hell are you doing? Knock it off. You're scaring the children.
All right, Frank, I do believe that it's time for us to go for a drink break.
A drink break?
Yes, a drink break.
Drinks? I remember one time Brask, you took me out to go find a drink. Well, we wandered around for hours and we couldn't find a bar anywhere. Finally, he took me to a vacant lot and said, "Here we are." Well, we sat in that vacant lot for a year and a half until, sure enough, someone constructed a bar around us. P.J. McGinty's. On the day they opened it, we ordered a shot, drank it, and burnt the place to the ground. Over the roar of the flames, Brasky yelled out, "Always leave things the way you found it." Brasky was a son of a bitch.
Best damn salesman in the office!
I'm gonna miss him.
Thank you.
And we're back.
Yeah. Got myself a bit of a coffee right here.
Okay.
Quite right.
And during the break, I went out, had a smoke, took a whiz off the side of the driveway.
Nice.
And I've decided I'm going to finish the review. I've come this far.
Really?
I'm going to finish watching the movie. I'm going to finish taking my notes, but I'm not going to write it all up because, like I said before, it's just going to take forever. So what I'd like to do is we'll do it in a series of three Zotcasts where I'll just open up my notes next to the video window here, and Steve and I will just discuss each point going down through. So we're going to analyze each movie together.
We are? You ain't pretty man to this.
Yes, I am.
Aww.
I'm not
going to
suffer alone. And despite your innocent ignorance of the book itself, you did a pretty decent job of playing devil's advocate during the last podcast. So this way, it saves me a lot of work because I'm lazy. And it'll still get finished, and it'll probably be a lot more entertaining to, instead of sitting down and reading what's probably going to be a very dry and very angry diatribe. Because like I said before, if I tried to write all of this up, I don't know how long it's going to take me, and I'm probably going to get frustrated and give up on it again. So
yeah.
This way, I can just sit back, and we can just talk about it.
All right, so what's my homework? What do you want me to do? You want me to watch the movies again?
If you want to watch the movies again, just so that the things I'm talking about are fresh in your mind, you can do that, or you can just sit there and be my sounding board while I rant about it.
Okay.
Try to temper my fury.
Well, I do try to. I've always tried to oppose whoever I'm speaking to, just to add a different perspective on something. Mm-hmm. On a subject or whatever. And it's not that I intend to. It's just it's become second nature to me to always provide, an alternative point of view. In some cases, that doesn't work out well for me, but
I do it myself quite often. When you look at it this way, And I'll be happy to correct you.
Good. I look forward to it.
Something has to make me happy out of this. the idea of when it's finally done.
All right, let's roll this potato uphill.
Yeah, but just the idea of finally being finished and never having to watch these movies again. They can safely sit on my DVD shelf, innocently unplayed, until the end of time.
Just gathering dust.
Yeah. Keep them here safe, or they can do no more harm to anyone else. I am the keeper of this great burden. For the same reason I keep a copy of E.T. On the Atari 2600, I'll never play it. I'm just keeping it so nobody else can play it.
that sounds both selfless and selfish.
No, it's very selfless and noble. I am taking this upon myself to spare somebody else the pain. Because I've played that piece of shit before.
So have I, actually.
You got it, see?
Long time ago. I can just still remember how that video game frustrated me.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I knew that if I had my chance and I could play that video game again, that I would still be frustrated. Even for a little while.
Yep. That's also why I keep a copy of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on the NES. To save somebody else from it.
I watched the Angry Video Game Nerd review of that game. Mm-hmm. And
I first heard of it. And I saw a copy at the flea market last year. I'm like, no fucking way. So of course I grabbed it right up. I'm like, I have to have this just for the novelty of being able to say I own Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on the NES. And I did try it out once.
Mm-hmm.
Just once. And that was enough. yep, done.
I think everybody and their mother owned
Friday the 13th for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
I remember my brother used to have it when we were kids, and he used to play it pretty often. And I got a copy of that, and I did try it. I tried really hard. It's not the worst game ever. It's just really hard. The map system is retarded. Even when in my head I'm trying to remember the fact that wherever you are,
yep,
the view is from the outside of the map looking inward. But even then, it's so easy to end up going the wrong direction.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And I do it like 9 times out of 10, wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kid either dies or... Yeah, well, the kid dies.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of kids. It's a wonderful, wonderful game for children. Let's play a game where other kids are dying horribly at the hands of a psychopathic monster serial killer.
Oh,
great game.
Yeah, it was awesome. And remember, that is a really messed up segment where you have to, like... Sometimes you could cut through the forest, you know, and...
I never went into the woods. I was like, nope, it's not even worth it. I'm going to get lost in there. I know it. I'm going to get lost, and all the enemies are going to whittle me down, and I'm going to die.
Prime example right here. I get so lost. It's ridiculous. But I was actually, like, scared, even, like, as a teenager when I went to go play it again. You know, I was just, like, I was just literally scared because, you know, you hear beep, beep, and you're like, oh, shit. Beep, beep. That's like, oh... You keep hearing the beep, yeah, exactly. And then out of nowhere, Jason would just come out and hear, right, and it's too fucking late. And all of a sudden, you're like, ah! And just, you're trying to recover from getting startled from him, like, showing up on the scene. You're already dead.
I really made an effort to try to learn how to play this game. I even went on YouTube, and I found a playthrough of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually watched an entire video of somebody playing through the whole game and beating it.
Only to face Jason again, and he's, like, so much faster and stronger.
Yeah, you gotta... The game is, like, spread out over 3 days, so it's, like, 3 acts. So you beat Jason the first day, and it's like, you beat Jason, but he'll be back and he'll be stronger. And then it goes to the next day. You gotta do it all again. There's some kind of trick, or just, like, blind luck, where if you go into one of the houses at the right time, you can find the torch weapon, which is the best weapon in the game, which makes everything super easy. If you're lucky and if you don't get your character killed, you can find it in the first day and just plow through the rest of the game. But I never found it. So it is doable. There are ways to do it. You just have to have the patience to sit through it and keep trying.
Isn't there a segment where you can actually go into the shrine of Pamela Voorhees?
ABGN mentioned that in his review and he showed it. And of course it killed him. But of course...
She's just creepy.
The torture probably made that easier, but it's just like a flying head. It's like, oh, come on. You guys are reaching now.
Hey, kids, you and your friends can die today.
you and your friends are dead. Dead. He's going to mess.
Yeah. That's right. At the end, it's very morbid and, like, and haunting. Just a black screen and then... the text going right across the screen, you and your friends are dead.
Yeah,
game over. And it was just like, I get mortified when I see that because I'm just like, me and my friends are dead?
What have I done?
I really do. Like, when I do play video games, I get very engrossed in them to the point where, like, the outside world does not affect me at all. Yeah. Like, at one point, like, especially when I watch TV, I get, like, so engrossed and entranced that I concentrate, like, one track mind, one focus, right there. At one point, I was watching a TV series when I was a teenager, and when my little sister Brenda was still, like, 8 or 9 years old, she was choking on something that I did not notice. Oh, and she was, like, right in front of me. I was, like, watching the TV just like, you know, yeah. Yeah, I know. My mom can attest to that. I remember it to this day, and I regret it, you know? I mean, she's still alive and everything, but she could, you know, something seriously could have happened.
Yeah. Commercial break, looks down, comes up, you look down. Uh-oh.
Brenda, quit faking. Brenda, how'd you get your face so blue?
Okay, so Lord of the Rings is back on, more or less. And you were going to mention something else about gaming?
I was I? Yes. I spoken with my friend Richie, who helped me on a few videos on Zotbark. He's been there since the beginning, really. Just mainly behind the screens, and every now and then I'd have him on camera with me. Ever since, well, the Glovebox Burrito days, which is before I even opened up my YouTube channel on, you know, we're talking about, like, MySpace video. Anyway, my friend Richie wanted to do a Let's Play of Castlevania, Symphony of the Night, I believe it's called, the series, and he's doing a Let's Play with my best friend Gordo's nephew, Randy Panda, so they're doing that. They got a capture card and everything, so they filmed it, and they did audio, and, you know, they got a microphone and all that, which I think is great, but the thing is, they don't know how to edit video as well as I do, anyway. So I offered my services, and they took me up on it, you know? And I also offered that they can use my channel on YouTube, which is Gaming at Zotbark. YouTube.com/Gaming at Zotbark. No, Gaming in Zotbark, sorry. It's a household name. Like Bubba Gump Shrimp. But they said that they'll discuss it, and they'll decide whether or not they want to open up a new YouTube channel. The thing is, I have so many of them. I mean, I told them, like, take one. I have so many of them, because they were... I made a YouTube channel per project, when I could just make a central hub. I could just make, like, Zotbark, and then have, like, all these subsidiaries for... Like, Geek and Sundry on YouTube has, like, 4 or 5 different shows throughout the week, you know, on certain days. You know, so if, it's like, if you want to watch Will Wheaton play tabletop games with other celebrities and such, then you could watch it on Thursday. Like, all right, on Thursday, I'm going to go to the Geek and Sundry channel, and I'm going to go and watch Will Wheaton kick everybody's butt in tabletop games. And they have a good time with it. I mean, it's a brilliant series.
Yeah, I gotta check that out.
It's very well done. I mean, it's better than a playthrough. It's a real... playthrough. You get to see people sit at a table, literally play a tabletop game for like 3 hours, but they cut it down to like a half hour or so, like that, so they really kind of make it short. Because
lights, yeah.
So it's a better production.
I play D&D a lot of time, you know, sometimes you can spend a lot of time at the table just, you know, setting up your maps or discussing tactics, or if somebody levels up, then everything just grinds to a halt while they go through all the books and try to decide what feats they want to take next, or, you know, rolling up their hit points, or, okay, I'm going to take a level of bard now or something, you know, so.
As much as I love to see other people, like, do that, because it's like you get to watch them unedited, it's always good to have that kind of fluency when it comes to, like, short-form video.
Yes, yes.
Especially when it comes to long-form gameplay.
Yeah, if you want people to actually sit down and watch your stuff, it has to have a flow. You don't want to have everything grind to a halt while everybody starts arguing rules.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is better suited for, like, a live stream broadcast.
Yeah, because then everybody knows they're going to be there for a while, and they bring snacks or whatever, and it's like, okay, let's watch a game in progress. Okay, now they're going to argue about this. Okay, this guy dies, so he's going to roll up a new character.
It's like hanging out with celebrities, only via zeros and ones. It's safe that way.
Much safer.
Because we're creepy. This afternoon's drink is brought to you by Baked Downtown Cafe and Bakery. I have here in my cup a nice bouquet of French vanilla, coffee, roasted to perfection, ground up and sieved with hot water. 200 degrees, thank you. Into my cup.
Sieved with hot water?
Yes, yes. Steeped.
Being brewed?
Something like that.
With water? Coffee's made with water now? Well, I'll be.
Sugar and milk to perfection.
I got some coffee. Got some sugar in it. It's okay.
Nah, that's...
my Decker coffee maker. I keep in my dresser back there.
Is that the old Black & Decker?
Yep, it's a Black & Decker, all right.
I gave mine to Gordo a while back. It was my Christmas gift for my sister, but I've had it for quite a while, and I'm like, when I moved in with Gordo, I said, hey, do you guys have a coffee maker? No? All right, here, have mine.
There you go, then.
Yep, that's how I roll. Downhill.
Not going to say it. Didn't
too
have
late.
To.
Explain the potato joke.
Okay. The potato thing. I used to be a regular on ubersite.com, which I've since kind of stopped going to quite a while ago, but a lot of my old material is still there. That's where I was. I used to post all my stories, which I've since transferred most of them to Zot Park now, but Ubersite is, they're a rough crowd. They take themselves very seriously. They're extremely critical. They don't seem to like anybody or anything. I thought I was pissed off and jaded, but damn. So these people are just brutal. They used to give me tons of shit, which is another reason why I stopped going there, because who needs that crap? But when I first started showing up in videos on YouTube, I would link them there to try to, you know, drum up some more hits. And in one video where Steve showed up, some of the comments were like, "Your friend looks like a potato."
I took that really seriously at first, too.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, actually, you did register on Ubersite for a very short time, and you got banned for something stupid.
And that something stupid was I posted originally twice in one day.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And you're only allowed
one post per day. Yeah, they're pretty strict about that.
Yeah.
But the bans aren't usually lifelong. It's just, but I never blamed him for not going back, and I haven't gone back, and I don't miss it one bit.
Yeah, it was very sensitive.
Fuck you guys.
Like, I opened up my, you know, I pretty much just, like, Ray kind of gave me the advice. He's like, "Yeah, post about this." And I'm like, okay. And I did. And what I did was I posted about the Renaissance Fair, I think. And about, you know, me being, like a Jedi Hobbit and shit like that. But, like, I had... So I had so many negative... You know, so much negative stuff. So I decided to like post something else up instead, and then I got flack for that. And I'm like, "There's no pleasing this crowd." So then I posted a third time just to piss everybody off, and then I got banned.
Yeah,
and that's what happened. I mean, it really is a tough crowd, and
you got to have thick skin there. I mean, I do have to give them credit that they helped me toughen up in terms of internet usage, because back in those days, I was using the first computer that I actually owned, which I got secondhand from Ray.
Yep.
So that's when I was still kind of new to being a regular on the internet and learning the ins and outs. Mind you, this was when I was like 19 and 20, like not long after I got out of high school. You gotta remember, I went to high school in the 90s.
Same here.
Most people, if they had their own computer, it was still really expensive back in those days. I mean, in my high school experience, they only ever taught me how to use Macs, and I did virtually nothing online at the time, or like maybe like occasionally, you know, going to MSN Gaming Zone or just, you know, looking for porn, like everybody else.
Not me.
So being out of high school and having my own computer and finally being turned loose on the internet with a proper PC, you know, I'm still a noob. I was a noob. And I made a lot of noob mistakes. I paid for it, and I learned my lessons, and I, you know, toughened up. And now I just hate everything. So good job, internet.
He says with a thumbs up, "Good job." It's like, "I hate the internet." Good for you. The internet is so vast now, though. It felt very exclusive when we were in high school.
Yeah, but it just exploded, and now it's huge, and now there's, I'd almost say there's too much of it. Internet has pervaded every aspect of people's lives. Like, people can't just get a phone. Like, this is my cell phone. I can make calls, you know, send and receive texts.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no camera in this.
I was going to say, you have to explain it, because this is an audio podcast, Frank.
I have a very basic, you know, a Virgin Mobile track phone. I buy a phone card when I need to top up my minutes, and that's it. I can make calls. I can do texts. There's no camera in it. I can use the internet on it, but it sucks up my minutes, and it's not worth it anyway, because it's super slow. But most people nowadays, they got to have all these iPhones and shit. And
yeah, they have to have, like, a distraction from their daily lives.
Yeah, like, you go out and you see groups of friends sitting around, and they're all playing with their phones, ignoring each other. Like, what the fuck happened?
They're socially unsociable.
It is. The internet has taken over people's lives to the point that interpersonal relationships are almost a thing of the past now.
Yeah, and I have to admit that I've been sucked into that. Like, for a good long while, the internet was, like, 100% my life. Like, mm-hmm. I still do, like, come home from work and I go on the internet and stuff, but it's not like I would evade interpersonal relationships, you know, either with family or friends, yeah. And, you Although, know, just I mean, to stay I on the have, computer.
I have called you on that a couple of times, or we're out doing something and you're playing around on your phone, like, dude, don't be a phone douche.
yeah, exactly.
You realize what you were doing and you turn it off.
I can understand that, because it's like, wow, you'd rather be, you know, playing Angry Birds on your cell phone instead of, like, sitting here and talking to me like a decent human being.
So. Yeah, it definitely has become a staple, though, in society's, like, ability to connect to the internet and stuff. I mean, I too have, like, a prepaid cell phone. It's a basic phone. If I want to get a smartphone, however, I have to pay $60 a month, which kind of defeats the purpose of, like, I don't know, like, I mean, it defeats the purpose of having prepaid, you know, because, I mean, if I want to pay $60 a month, I might as well go with a contract, you know, that kind of thing, depending. But I do have a Verizon Wireless prepaid, and my phone is very similar to yours. It's a Samsung. Mm-hmm. The internet's very, well, the internet, luckily, is included, however, but it's not, like, graphic heavy as if I were to have a smartphone. We're talking about, like, a cell phone from, like, 2005, like, when the Motorola Razors came out and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing before smartphones became the norm.
Yeah, when camera phones were the new big thing.
Yeah.
But now I hear, like, commercials on the radio about, oh, get the new
Galaxy S4.
Yeah, get the new Verizon this or that with all of this data package and shit. Like, who needs this shit?
Yeah.
Phones just be for making phone calls. That's all it has to be. We have computers for internet. Not everything has to be a fucking computer, because how many distractions do we need from life? This is why Americans have become fat and lazy, because we spend all our time sitting on our asses playing with the computer instead of getting up and doing things like we used to.
Yeah, like playing, I don't know, playing Frisbee in the street and not getting hit by cars. Because we're paying attention while we're doing it.
When I was a kid, you used the phone to call your friend and say, hey, you want to meet up and do something? And then you leave the house and you go do something. Nowadays, everybody's like just sit in the house on their phone talking to their friends all day or texting or whatever.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't need to go and see your friends if you can, as long as you text them, even while you're on the toilet.
Yeah, it's like, when do you just turn it off and, you know, look, life. Anyway, we're not going to sit here. We're not going to spend the night sitting here, you know, pointing out all the problems of the internet, because we'll be here all day. Bottom line, people, turn your phones off and look around. There's more to life than the internet.
Oh my God, Frank.
What?
My parents cleaned the house.
Holy shit.
I looked up from the computer, I'm like, where did everything go?
See? Told you. See, while you were on the computer, they moved out. You didn't even notice.
Or maybe my entire family, like, choked and I never noticed. They choked on something and they all died, and then the police came in and took them away, and they had funeral services, and that was, like, 2 months ago.
Anyway, I think we're just rambling at this point, so...
Well, we'll call this episode 2 of Zotcast Reloaded, of sorts. So to sum everything up, Frank decided that he is going to go ahead and review the Lord of the Rings in, podcast form. I am going to be editing video for my friend's Let's Plays, and I will update everybody on that. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Zottpark, ZottePark. You can also like me on Facebook at facebook.com/... Zottpark, ZottePark. Go to our website, zottpark.com, ZottePark, for the third time.
After we just spent 10 minutes bitching about how much...
Hey, we got to be connected.
Yeah.
We have to be connected. Yeah, well, this is the kind of connection where we expand our network of friends, and there, you know, we'll have friends that are online. It's not like we can... go to Seattle to meet...
Dude, I'm just being a smartass.
All right. It's not like I can go to, like, you know, point A, B, and C across the country and just say, hey, go to my website. And they'll be like, well, you're right here. So, hi. You know?
It's taking over our lives. Now go to our Facebook and Twitter page and all this shit.
I'm Steve.
I'm Frank.
I'm a hypocrite.
And I'm bored.
You're telling me apart, Internet.
Sick of this Internet. Anybody out to betray me? Good night, everybody.